All right, good morning, Baltimore and surrounding areas. This is Oren Solomon on the Entrepreneur's Edge. It is Tuesday. What's today's date? The 20th of January. And super excited to be on the show today. Again, this is Oren Solomon. This is the Entrepreneur's Edge, where we talk about entrepreneur issues in our community, from networking to starting businesses, big businesses, small businesses, developing personally, all different types of issues with regards to entrepreneurship. We've got a great show for you today. The topic of today's show is investing in yourself. Investing in yourself. And there's so many different ways in which we can invest in ourselves. We can invest in ourselves monetarily. We can invest in ourselves through our health, through exercise and working out. We can invest in ourselves spiritually.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about that today. We've got a special guest in the first part of the show today. We can invest in ourselves in so many different ways. And this obviously helps us become better people, become better entrepreneurs. So before we get into the show, I have a special guest today, someone who's well-known in this community. He is a pastor out of Baltimore, Maryland. In fact, he's the pastor of Greater Harvest Baptist Church here in Baltimore, doing a lot of great things in the community. Been here for a long time, born and raised in the area. And we just want to have him tell us a little bit about what's going on and what he's doing with regards to economic empowerment and some of the things that are happening. So please help me welcome to the show today, Pastor Errol Gilyard Sr. out of Greater Hartford Baptist Church. Pastor, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you.
How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Excellent. Appreciate your time today. And I hope you all are listening in. If you know people that, if you have friends, you want to call them and have them listen to this show. We've got a great message for you. So, Pastor, why don't you tell everybody, let's tell people who you are first. Just your background, where you're from, and how you got into what you're doing.
Well, Pastor Errol Gilyard, Greater Harvest Baptist Church. Our church is located 1617 West Saratoga Street. We like to think we're in the heart of the city.
Uh-huh.
I've been pastoring there now. This is my 30th year.
Wow.
Entering to my 30th year of pastorate there.
Wow.
Grew up in Baltimore City, and as ironic as it may sound, I grew up in the area in which my church is located.
How about that?
I grew up in the 1000 block of West Fayette Street and West Fairmont Avenue. So
that's
a blessing for me to be able to pastor in my home community, which I grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
I graduated from Carver High School, attended Virginia Union University and Richmond. I'm presently enrolled at the Palmer Theological Seminary in Philadelphia.
Okay.
As I said, been in the pastorate at Greater Harvest for 30 years. I pastored prior to that New Mount Carmel Baptist Church in our city, located on Poplar Grove Street, 1900 block of Poplar Grove. I stayed there approximately 3.5 years before I got the call.
Mm-hmm.
I've had the pleasure of serving in the Franklin Square area where my church is located, Franklin Square, and a member of the Franklin Square Association, Community Association.
Mm-hmm.
Even had the privilege of serving as their president and vice president.
Wow.
And just recently, I've commissioned the men of our church to become a part of that association.
Mm-hmm.
Where we're trying a new approach to evangelism.
Okay.
Get the church, it's the same old story, from behind the walls.
Sure, sure.
I believe that if we can get what's inside the church, the faces inside the church, to reflect the community, I think we can build stronger community.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that training the minds will transform the minds.
Amen.
And will change the attitude.
Wow.
I was just recently elected and installed as the president of the Baptist Ministers Conference of Baltimore and Vicinity.
Congratulations.
Appreciate you saying that. It's a pleasure to serve. It's a great, great august body, a great fellowship of pastors around the Baltimore City area, as well as some surrounding counties.
Mm-hmm.
My focus there is to first recruit more pastors
mm-hmm.
to get involved. It's past, I believe in its original organization, the idea was for it to be a place where pastors who would come and be refreshed on Monday after Sunday, a rigorous worship schedule.
Wow.
But it's inclusive of associate ministers. So it's not like the Baltimore City Pastors Conference. It's the Ministers Conference, so that ministers of all denominations are welcome, even though the title Baptist is there.
Sure.
We're hoping to do some things more interdenominational as well as ecumenical to be inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
I think as the Christian community itself, you have to bring pastors together because they have the kind of influence that licentiates and others don't have.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking if we get them together mm-hmm. and get us around, get us in a room, mm-hmm. and let's change our conversation a little bit.
Sure.
Moving from a mindset of rhetoric to uh-huh. reality. And yeah. I think one of the points that I stressed in my installation was we need to deal with economic empowerment.
Mm.
That's the key. Economic empowerment and financial literacy.
Amen.
In the black community.
Yep.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And in light of, especially in light of what's been happening with all of the police brutality and all of the marching and protests, and I'm not against marching and protests, it's gotten us a great deal mm-hmm. if we have a plan after we march.
Right.
All right. Because I think any march or protest without a plan is nothing but a nice long walk.
Exactly.
And so you might as well go on and put on some tennis shoes, sweatsuit, right. and call it exercise, right? But we've got to come up. It's good to march. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think because your voice got to be heard.
Yes.
And you exercise your constitutional right.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we have to, for too long, we march, yell, raise sand, and then excitement is over, whatever you want to call it,
mm-hmm.
we go right back to business as usual.
Yeah.
And we don't really have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And we bring in activists and actors who act like they're activists, and mm-hmm. that's what I call them, and get the people all roused up.
Uh-huh.
And that's
Nothing's done after.
Nothing's done.
Yeah.
Then we have these outdoor cold prayer meetings out in the cold,
mm-hmm.
and all you're going to catch there is a cold or the flu. And I'm like, so... where do we go after that? You know,
yeah.
So my conversation at the conference is, the marching is fine, the protesting is fine,
uh-huh.
the screaming and hollering is fine because you got to speak truth to power.
Yeah,
cry loud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. You know,
mm-hmm.
but then we've got to come up with a plan and a strategy.
Amen.
And so I think we need to have conversations around that, not just conversations, but actually come up with a strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people in the black community who've already tapped into this. We just
mm-hmm.
need, as a conference, I want to try to tap into them. Men like Claude Anderson.
Okay.
Now, I've listened to him over the years.
Mm-hmm.
I like his philosophy, and I like his approach.
Yeah.
And he brings a kind of holistic
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
approach to the financial situation
sure.
of black people.
Sure.
I believe the racial issue
mm-hmm.
is real in this country.
Yeah.
But you can't regulate how people feel about you.
You can't change it.
Right.
You know?
And only if you don't like a law, the only way to change a law is to change the lawmaker.
Mm.
So you have to exercise the voting right.
Yeah.
But then you have to have voices who are not sellers out,
mm-hmm.
right,
mm-hmm.
to the politicians
right.
and to the other people
yeah.
for a grant and a little shoulder rubbing,
mm-hmm.
you know,
sure.
just to say that I'm among the who's who.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to have individuals who will kind of help direct people,
mm-hmm.
and not tell them who to vote for,
mm-hmm.
but kind of expose those who are in elected office
yep.
who support bills and laws that are not really profitable
mm-hmm.
for the well-being of all of us.
All people, exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And especially not just financial laws, but moral laws,
mm-hmm.
right? Because
mm-hmm.
let's face it, moral laws are the fiber of the universe.
Yeah.
And you just can't go against moral law.
That's right.
And so I think it's immoral to be financially illiterate.
Mm-hmm. Man, say that again. Well, hang on 1 second, Pastor. We are here with Pastor Errol Gilyard out of Greater Harvest Baptist Church in Baltimore, Maryland. He is kicking some science in
yes,
here today,
he
man. People are, listen, if you want to have a quick conversation with Pastor, you can call in at 410-481-1010, 410-481-1010. If you're outside the listening area, 877-704-1010, 877-704-1010. And obviously, our show is an entrepreneur show. If you're listening, you're looking to start a business, you don't know where to start. Sharon, why don't you give your number out real quick?
Yes, it's 443-854-4889. Again, that number is 443-854-4889.
Actually, we're talking about investing in yourself. And the first thing we're talking about is on the spiritual side. And we have Pastor Gilyard here. I'm going to let you continue to talk, man, because you are saying some great words.
Yes,
I didn't mean to cut you off, so I'm going to let you keep on going.
And they can keep going,
too. Yeah, that's right. That's all good. Let them talk.
People I thought call you were my friend.
Hey.
So just so you know, we're talking about economic empowerment in our community. Pastor, you're an entrepreneur as well, right? You
sure.
you believe in entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
Maybe you can kind of touch on a little bit about that in our community. Because, you know, you talk about financial illiteracy. It's so important mm-hmm. that we educate ourselves on how to invest. Mm-hmm. There's so many different types of investments. But maybe you can give the listening audience some suggestions of what you think, you know, some people can do.
Right. Now with what we talked about at our church, with mm-hmm. deregulation, mm-hmm. that kind of thing, mm-hmm. energy kind mm-hmm. of situation, mm-hmm. they are different mm-hmm. streams of income.
Sure.
That they can really tap into, just a matter of tapping into the right one.
Mm, right. I got you.
and the thing with deregulation, a lot of people have not yet caught on, mm-hmm. especially in the black community. Mm-hmm. They're afraid to switch.
Yeah.
For instance, like energy, like BG&E, and I don't want to put nobody out there.
Sure,
like
I got you.
But if you introduce a different energy source, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. They're thinking somebody's trying to duke them.
Yeah, sure.
And they, now I'm going to stick with BG&E out of fear.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Now realizing that here's what deregulation says, BG&E can no longer have it all.
Right.
So eventually, they're going to put you with somebody. Mm-hmm. You know, it's better to jump off the ship than get thrown off the ship, all right, and not know you've been thrown off.
Yeah.
Until you get your bill. Uh-huh. So I suggest them to look into different, these new programs that are coming out, people mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. Sharon and her husband.
Sure.
And there are others. We have one in energy source we use at church mm-hmm. called Ambit. Church benefits from it mm-hmm. as well mm-hmm. as the membership. Mm-hmm. It's not a Ponzi scam, it's not a pyramid. But it's a means where individuals can create and generate mm-hmm. different streams of income.
Yeah.
Because as you look around and look at how things are happening in the economy mm-hmm. and the job market, mm-hmm. people only use you or hire you to the limit that they need you.
Excellent. Hang on, Pastor. We got a caller coming in. Is it Haikai?
Haki.
Haki. How are you, Haki?
I'm doing awesome, Brother Oren. Pleasure to hear you.
Say hello to Pastor Gilliard as well.
Yes, absolutely. And good afternoon to you, Pastor Gilliard. How you doing today?
I'm finding yourself.
Awesome. Well, I certainly appreciate your message today. It's a message that must be heard in this time, and I have come to your church. It's been a few years, but certainly it's always good to hear that you're still on the front line, one of the more progressive pastors in the city, that you are certainly aware of the work of Dr. Claude Anderson. Sometimes, you know, individuals tend to be a little timid when talking about things that we need to speak about affirmatively, you know, and so I just want to say thank you. I would like to, you know, just stop back through whenever you got something going on and offer my encouragement and my support for your work that you're doing, for being a leading voice in this city.
I appreciate you saying that.
And I thank you, Orin Sullivan, for having the courage and integrity to have him on.
Thank you so much, man. Appreciate it. Hey, if you do us a favor, man, call back, leave your information with the board up. We'd love to talk to you, all right?
Oh, thanks, Orin.
Yep, all right, no problem. Take care. All right, we've got Charles online, too. Hey, Charles, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. We have Sharon Lewis here, and we have Pastor Gilliard. I want you to say hello.
All right. How you doing, Miss Sharon?
I'm fine, Charles. How you been?
All right.
Okay, good.
I want to ask, how can we legally solicit money for businesses?
Legally solicit money for businesses?
Yeah.
There are a lot of different ways in which you can do that. You can, you know, if you have a business, I recommend getting having some sort of business plan. You can do private placements. You can raise capital that way through private funds. You can borrow money. You can go to banks and borrow money. You know, sometimes that can be difficult. But believe it or not, there are banks out there that are loaning money for people to start businesses. But, you know, I would recommend this, Charles. I would recommend going on the internet. It's such a resourceful thing that we have right now. And they can tell you so many different ways in which you can get capital to do businesses. I don't know if y'all have any other suggestions.
Well, you can invite them to the seminar I'll be having.
Yeah. Thanks, Sharon. Charles, I have been in business for myself for 22 years, and we show people basically how to create income to do things. I am a traditional business owner, but I raised the capital through the business that I've been doing for 22 years. So if you don't mind, man, if you can call back or you can text Sharon. Why don't you give me your number, Sharon?
Yes, it's 443-854-4889.
part. But let me just clarify. I'm talking about raising capital overnight, because businesses and corporations, they'll raise capital overnight. They can raise $1 million in a day.
Yeah.
You know, if you really want to raise money, there are ways to go out and raise that money legally.
Mm. Yeah.
And people just don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
We are struggling to try to grasp how do we get these things off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so easy to get them off the ground.
Yeah. No, I agree with you 100%. There's so many different ways to do it. I have a number of friends who own big businesses. One of the things I tell people, though, is if you're already successful, it's kind of easier to get money when you already have it. When you don't have it is when they look you up and down and they want to know everything about you, and they want to kind of scrutinize you a little bit more, and it becomes a little bit more difficult. So my recommendation is you either want to partner with people who already have it, who already have a great track record of resources, where people would will just give them money because of their track record,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to, you know, starting from scratch. So, all right. Hey, Charles, thanks for calling in, man. Appreciate it. We have Carlton on line one. Hey, Carlton, how are you?
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Say hello to Pastor Gilead and Sharon, would you?
How you doing, Mr. Gilead and Mr. Sharon? I talked to you some time ago, Mr. Gilead, some years ago. When you was, if I'm correct, you was on the Mayor's Human Relations Commission of jurisdiction?
No, sir. Probably somebody else, but not me. Not
the okay. Gilead,
yes.
Oh, Gilead, okay, yes. Gilead, okay. All right, well, congratulations, you've been president of the Pastors Conference.
Baptist Ministers Conference, yes. Mm-hmm.
Baptist Ministers Conference, congratulations. I'm glad that you take the approach of Carl Anderson and that you are an entrepreneur, because we need as many black businesses in Baltimore City as 80% black anyway. My question or comment is about pastors in Baltimore City.
Mm-hmm.
The churches, I should say, you got about 2,500 to 3,000 black churches in Baltimore City.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, you was brother before me saying that you got to get money to start businesses. Well, the first approach that I can see is that why don't we start putting out money in white banks, preaching Black Sunday and depositing White Monday, and take out billions of dollars out of white banks and create black banks and credit unions throughout the entire city of Baltimore. That way we can double and triple parlay that money so we can build an economic power very strong, very powerful. Because, you know, all that money going to the white banks, we can just take it out from our own credit unions and banks. Also in churches, they talking black, these pastors, but they hiring contractors that don't look like us to do the work on the churches. And that's very hypocritical, and I have approached a few of these pastors. One walked away from it, didn't want to say anything to me, like I cursed out his mother or something. Because it's a black church, and don't have no confidence in your black institutions. Take that money out the white man's bank, using our money to build this world up, and put it in the black bank, or create black banks and credit unions. To follow the teachings of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Mm-hmm.
He's going through his economic Muhammad, economic blueprint. Black people of Baltimore City, follow the man, the minister, and follow you in your approach. And congratulations on your appointment again, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you.
Take care, Carl. Yep.
I agree with you 100%. One of the things I noticed, we get romance with the I Have a Dream speech. And we get romance with the I Have a Dream speech. And
mm-hmm.
and what happens, we forget that King had more than just the I Have a Dream speech.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I think that really created tension for him when he started talking about economic empowerment,
mm-hmm.
pulling money out of white banks and putting it into black banks. One of the things, the conversations I'm having now is, again, black supporting black businesses.
Mm-hmm.
I can very well agree with his brother when he talks about churches having white contractors talking black.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did a major renovation project at our church, everybody on that thing was black.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Did we have problems? Yeah, we had problems, but all we had to do was call the man back to fix it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm now talking with another church who hired a white roofer.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't hire a black roofer.
Mm-hmm.
And the white roofer took them for their money. Mm-hmm. And the roof still leaks. The building, you can see through the roof, you know. And I'm asking, why would you argue to pay a man to finish a job before it's finished? Now, the mm-hmm. pastor was appalled to it, mm-hmm. but some of the officers, mm-hmm. I understand, wanted to pay the man off, and the job really wasn't finished. Mm-hmm. So now they're stuck with a leaky roof.
Wow.
And over, at, it was overpriced. And again, I said to the officer that came to me for advice, I said, really, you're trying to close the barn after the horse got out?
Yeah, it's too late.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I said, you need to probably get a posse and catch the horse. Yeah. Right. So,
that's for sure.
You know, but this distrust mm-hmm. among ourselves. I mean, black people built this country, let's face mm-hmm. it. We were here before the European or the, mm-hmm. or the Anglo was here. Mm-hmm. We built this country. And we've got to, I often say this from church, the most successful business in the black community should not be the drug dealer.
Right, exactly.
Right. And there's no reason why, I'm not anti anything. Koreans should not be ruling the community in entrepreneurial. Mm-hmm. Every little corner, you see the Korean store, and they take out, but put nothing back in.
Right.
And we're wondering why we're in the rut we're in. One of the bold things, I think, because I think King did this, too. I remember I listened to one of his speeches. Mm-hmm. He was asking pastors and churches around the country mm-hmm. to give one Sunday's offering to this economic cause.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And these same black preachers uh-huh. who are now running around town loving King uh-huh. turn a deaf ear to his cry.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
Mm. You understand? And that's, you want to talk about hypocrisy. That's hypocrisy.
That is hypocrisy. Right?
Mm-hmm. But there, and again, I'm not anti-pastor, I'm one myself, but truth. Mm. Truth will set you free, they say. Mm-hmm. So I think that kind of thinking, mm-hmm. you know, where churches need to come together mm-hmm. and pastors and come up with a collaborative or collective effort, economic effort. Because mm-hmm. there's enough money floating on Sunday morning mm-hmm. through the United States alone.
Oh, yeah.
In our churches cross denominational lines, mm-hmm. all right, where somebody who's bold enough, creative enough, mm-hmm. compassionate, how about Christ-like enough?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
To say, look, we need to pool our resources together. Mm-hmm. It's not going to kill us to either give one Sunday morning or come over for tithe.
Right.
It's so simple.
Mm-hmm. It's one Sunday.
I didn't want to preach to you, but when you look at the book of the Acts mm-hmm. of the Apostles, mm-hmm. where the church started developing toward this community, mm-hmm. the text says this, and nobody lacked for anything mm-hmm. and nobody claimed anything, because what they did, they pulled all the resources together mm-hmm. and they brought money, and look, they laid it at the apostles' feet mm-hmm. but it didn't stay with the apostle mm-hmm. it was distributed among those who were needed and I think what happens, and I'm probably getting in trouble saying it, we're laying too much money at the apostles' feet mm-hmm. and we need to go back and rethink, are we pimping mm-hmm. pastoring or being prophetic? Or are we actually doing the work of the Christ? I think the kingdom, when he talked about the kingdom of heaven, I think he was saying to us, you need to set up an economy that's totally radically different mm-hmm. from the world.
Yeah.
And so that the world can see your good works, mm-hmm. see how you take care of each other.
Yeah.
So the world will understand the toxicity of greed and selfishness.
Wow.
But we don't have that when you have people who want to center it around themselves. It's going to take a lot to
hold that thought. Hold that thought. Man, we're getting some great wisdom here. Right. I can let him talk for days. We got some people on the line here. Let me give out the number. Excuse me.
You're listening to The Entrepreneur's Edge, and you can give us a call right now if you have a comment, and congratulate Pastor Earl Gilliard on his new appointment just as well. So give us a call at 410-481-1010. Again, that number is 410-481-1010. And if you're outside of the listening area in the Baltimore area, you can still listen by dialing 1-877-704-1010. Again, that number is 877-704-1010.
And also your text, if you will.
Yes, and if you're interested in a business or you're trying to get started, you're not sure which way to go and you need some help, some direction, then give me a text, 443-854-4889. Again, that number is 443-854-4889.
Awesome. We've got, Praeria?
Praera.
Hi, Praeera. How are you?
I like that name.
It's a beautiful name. Thank mm-hmm. you for calling in today. Will you say hello to Pastor Gilliard and Sharon?
Hi,
Hello, Pastor Gilliard. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Fine. I have a question, and regarding African-American community, I believe in many ways, like other minorities who experience racism and oppressions, our experience is different. And my question is, I sincerely believe that it would be really nice for those, and I look at Magic Johnson, for instance, mm-hmm. who has come back and invested in his community that he grew up in, put businesses for young people. I believe if young people had something positive to do, even if there were no drugs or violence or turbulent times around, they would be better off. And I'm wondering why many have not come back to the community who have made it to do that, teaching the young people, setting up community centers like they do in Harlem. The man with the Harlem Children's Zone is to be commended. And I really think,
mm-hmm.
and I want to get your opinion, if there was all around the country like that, do you think you'd be better off for particularly the divide between those who've made it and who have not in the urban centers?
Because great
that's
question.
Part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think they have to be invited to come in.
Okay.
And that, again, even though a lot of churches are strapped for income because the economy, mm-hmm. that kind of thing, but nonetheless, yeah. there's something we can do collectively,
mm-hmm.
and we could get these personalities. Like I was talking about Claude Anderson,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
can bring them in and expose them to the communities. One of the things we did at Harvest under Mayor Sheila Dixon,
mm-hmm.
And Joan Pratt,
yeah.
we through the late Delegate Ruth Kirk, we were able to get a closed rec center,
okay.
in our church.
Mm-hmm.
Renovated it,
mm-hmm.
with our own finances.
Oh, wow.
All right. Set it up so that it would be a place where the kids in the community,
mm-hmm.
have an after school program.
Wonderful.
And along now with Delegate Ruth Kirk's son,
mm-hmm.
who is partnered with us.
Mm-hmm.
And he got some people to come in. He got Home Depot and some,
mm-hmm.
other folk,
mm-hmm.
to come in and help finish off some stuff we did not finish.
Wonderful.
But computer labs being,
sure.
set up there.
That's good.
We're now going to go back to doing the GED programs, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. But we adopted the lot.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
And adopted the recreation center.
Sure.
So that would be a safe haven,
mm-hmm.
right.
For the kids in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And this Christmas, I think we served over the church, on the church side,
mm-hmm.
we served over 125 families.
Wow.
And then on his side,
mm-hmm.
they served a great number of people, clothes, coats. None of the stuff was worn out,
yeah,
all,
yeah.
brand new
good
stuff.
Good stuff, yeah.
Yeah. And again, when you do that kind of thing, you kind of change the face of your church, because then the community comes in.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
See, I grew up in the recreation centers.
Right.
In Baltimore City, they had them all throughout the city.
Mm-hmm.
And we learned how to swim. I mean, there were so many things that we were not offered the privilege other places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But at the rec centers, we learned everything. And when they took the recreation centers away,
mm-hmm.
they took away a lot of the hope and desires,
sure.
for our young people.
I believe that.
Because they didn't learn basic, how to do square dancing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, basic, just basic things, like you, mm-hmm. said. A haven to come in, we were able to do our homework, we were able to do games, we were able to have fun and learn what it was to do things like the other people on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And if they was to bring those recreation centers back, yes, it might get, it, I believe it will help. I,
economic
will.
Empowerment.
Yes.
We got a couple callers here. Let's go to Byron. Hey, Byron, how you doing?
I love this show, and I try to make it quick, but I tell you, you know, I've been up, down, all around and squandered a lot of money. But I had a Jewish lawyer tell me, do not put your money into Bank of America. And I did it anyway. And then I looked at the small print and saw how much they was tearing my butt up. You know, he said, I would not put a dime in there. And a lot of times, the hypocrisy in our community is what keep us down, including,
mm-hmm.
things I do. You got to look at your own financial situation,
yeah.
and say, what's pulling my money down first? Be,
mm-hmm.
honest.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
start from there.
Yeah.
As far as helping your own people, you got to ask yourself, how much do I spend money with black businesses? And we do have to trust each other. You know, I grew up with a buddy of mine I hadn't seen in years. My mother, she spent a lot of money on working around on a house, driveway, we doing driveways, all this other stuff, windows. A lot of people don't know, some windows cost $4,000 to $5,000 for picture windows and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She called me. She said, you know, guess who's out here redoing my driveway and all? A friend of mine that I grew up with, I ain't seen in about 20 years. And I was like, that's great. And that's what we got to do. We got to start spending our money with our own people, because other races do it.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with it. other races do it, but for some reason, we feel that we don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Like the hypocrisy, we'll say, we want to do this for black folks, and then we don't do it. We got to be honest with ourselves, start trusting each other, pooling our money together, because nobody going to save us.
Yeah, it should just be human nature. We shouldn't even have to talk about it.
It should just be human nature, but we have to re-educate everyone.
What are we waiting on? I love this show, and y'all keep up the good work.
Thanks a lot,
thank you.
I love that one where the guy said the pastor looked like he shot was going to shoot his mother. And they do that because we're so arrogant, and we get to a level where can't nobody tell you nothing.
Yeah.
You know, can I say one more little thing?
Yeah.
This guy had a little corner store, right? And he was having a hard time paying the rent. I think it was like $250 a week or whatever. And he was, you know, he was doing all right. I said, dude, why don't you just make your sodas a certain price or certain products that people buy all the time, even if you make a small profit. At least you know that your rent going to be paid.
Mm-hmm.
He could not see the concept of saying making your sodas, say you make a quarter off every soda, make 15 cents,
mm-hmm.
a nickel. You know, at least you'll be able to pay your rent. If nothing else,
yeah.
He got mad at me like he wanted to fight me. And I'm just, you know, I'm not hating on you. I don't want to see you
trying to help him out.
Store. You cannot see the concept of bringing the price down on something that people buy a lot. And you know black folks buy a lot of sodas in Newport. Take the price down on that, and people, when they come in to buy that, they may buy something else. He could not grasp that concept because he got a business and I don't. He's better than me. We got to stop this, and we got to listen to people who are doing it and stop hating and get the information and do it. You know, that's all of us, including myself.
Hey, Byron, we appreciate your call, man. Have a good day. Take care now. All right, we've got Tyrone on line one. Hey, Tyrone, how you doing?
How you guys doing? I listen to this stuff, and I can appreciate the wisdom of you guys as far as the churches.
Mm-hmm.
Dealing with black businesses, I've dealt with several churches, you know, for my business. And a lot of times I've come in these churches and I've actually had to correct stuff that the white company did. You know, actually had to correct the stuff that the white company did. And in one of those cases, I did so much work with the church, you know, correcting stuff. And as soon as they had a big job, guess what they went with?
The white.
The white company. The white company. And I could have did the job. I told them almost 40% less than the white company could have done the same job.
Right. Let me ask you a question. Are you certified?
I'm licensed. I got top billing on the internet. You can even research me on the internet.
Okay, I'm asking you, are you certified? Through...
I'm not certified. I got a master's license.
Okay.
Certification is a license.
Okay.
I have two master licenses, all right?
Great.
And you can check out my credentials on the internet. So it's not like I'm telling you to just blindly follow me. And I had lots of references of people that have pleased my work.
Good. That's a good thing.
Yeah, of course. But I don't miss no meals because my problem is that a lot of the business I get is from white people. I hate to say it because they do their research. They do their research. They know I'm good. And I would say that, you know, we always think somebody's eyes is better. You know, but the white folks that do business with me, they know they get the price cheaper than they can get it from a place like Carrier or Train or something. They know they get it much cheaper than that. Mm-hmm. And they know that I have excellent service because they can find out about me on the internet. So we don't do our research. We just assume that if it's a black person, they can't know what they're doing. You know, and I hate to say it, but in a lot of cases, that's true. And also, if the church would support these people, let me explain something. Black people are the first people to hire black people, all right? I hire black people, okay? And there's nothing wrong with that either. Because other people hire their folks. So if the church could do that with them, it could benefit everybody. If all our churches dealt with that black citizens, they would have more money for the tithing. Thank you. Y'all have a nice day.
Thank you
so much, Tyrone. Okay, thank you. Now we're going to go to James. James, welcome to the Entrepreneur's Edge.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Good, good. You want to say hi to Pastor Gilliard and congratulate him?
How you doing, Pastor?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing excellent. Yeah, down here, you know, I'm pretty much on the border, so it's like, the Latinos, they pretty much, they want the show down here, you know, so it's like, you know, They doing their thing, and like, you know, they don't, they're so good at it now, whereas though, you know, they almost like international businesses, you know, like even the insurance companies, man, the insurance, dirt cheap, the food cheap, you get you a half a chicken with some rice and beans. I mean, like, smoke half a chicken down on the board for $3.99.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all, you know, that's all that businesses and stuff like that. And one of my friends, she was telling me, because she lived out on the border and she's Mexican, her cousin from Washington, they taking their ideas from down in the south, they taking them up north, and now her cousin on like two stands and a mall up in Washington State and stuff like that, and different malls, and you know, they doing their thing. So, you know, we need to just do the same thing, because if you look at it, what people don't realize, and I'm going to make it brief, is that since a lot of people are afraid of people of color, we always being watched. That's why we always being watched in sports. We always being watched on TV. We need to turn that energy into something positive, you know?
Yeah.
Because whenever we're in the spotlight, we're constantly being watched. We need to learn how to turn that energy into something positive and generate income off of it. So, you know, I'm going to listen to y'all out there, but that's where I'm at on it.
Well, thank you so much, James. We appreciate your comment.
All right,
have a good one.
We got, is it Kalik? On line one. Hey, Kalik, how you doing?
Salam, sir. I am well. And yourself?
We're doing well. Thanks for calling the show.
Yeah, I like the discussion, but I'm a proponent of direct action. And for all my years being in the church and then, you know, and always working with the church, it's a beautiful place for us to make progress. But we're not making the progress where we need to make it. And this is what I'm saying. I hear us dancing around and talking around our own system and way of doing things. We have all of the talent and skill sets that we need to bring about a system of do for self, like the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught, do for self. We got the skills. They're sitting right in the pews in the church.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
We got the space to train them.
Right there in the church.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's not the church. They are the church. It is the people.
Mm-hmm.
But we seem to fear this ghost called white man. We seem to fear him when he does it for himself. He's just doing for self. They came over here on their little boats doing for self. You see?
Okay.
So why can't we just take a lesson and do for self and use our skills and talents, use the spaces that we have in our hands? Churches got plenty of rooms where congregational members with skill sets can teach. They can teach. Just like the brother said, he's got a master's, you know. But we got masters. Mm-hmm. And when people use us, they use our mastership in all the trades and everything. They use us. So why can't we use ourselves for ourselves and cut the complaining? We can get our children off the blocks, you know, and they would be much more respectful and prideful of their adults. So, you know, that's all I have to say.
Hey, Kelly, we appreciate you calling in, man. Thanks so much.
Appreciate you all.
All right, let me give out the number again. We're here with Pastor Errol Gilyard out of Greater Harvest Baptist Church here in Baltimore. Number you can call into is 410-481-1010, 410-481-1010. If you're outside the listening area, you can call 877-704-1010, 877-704-1010. And if you're listening to our show, this is The Entrepreneur's Edge. We're talking about investing in yourself. We're here with Pastor Gilyard talking about economic empowerment in our community. You can text us. Sharon, why don't you give that number out?
At 443-854-4889. Again, that number is 443-854-4889.
Excellent. We've got James on line two. Hey, James, how you doing? Say hello to Pastor Gilyard and Sharon.
Hey, Pastor Gilyard.
Hey, how are you?
Well, everything they say about the church is not true. The church is doing their part.
We appreciate that.
We can do better.
We can do better, but the church is doing, they're doing what they can do.
Yes, sir.
I mean, some churches are more fortunate than others.
You're right.
I think with black people, far as on the business mindset, we need to overcome self-hatred.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's the key.
The concept is simple. I can open up a Chinese store in one corner and a black store in another corner serving the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think we're going to go?
Chinese.
Chinese all day long.
It's all about mindset. We got to think mindset. Now, don't get me wrong now. People are waking up.
Yeah, I believe that.
They're not asleep. Some people are waking up, and they understand what they got to do and who they got to support to make it. So, I mean, as time goes on, the change will come because there's always not just the Koreans in your neighborhood. Now, when you see always Latinos coming into your neighborhood and got a store and you don't have one, you got to ask yourself, what in the world is going on?
Right.
Yeah.
So people are waking up, but we still need to get more black businesses out there. I don't care if it's a corner store, it's a hot dog stand, or whatever we got to do, and we got to support them.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the only key to our survival. So that's all I got to say.
James, thanks so much, man. Appreciate you calling into the show. We've got Ron on line one. Hey, Ron, how you doing?
How you doing? First, let me commend Dr. Gilliard. I think part of why he is successful in emerging is that, A, I don't think that he is afraid to stand opposite of the crowd.
That's right. That's for sure.
That is his success, and I think the next 4 years will dictate that not the office he has been elected to, but his political savvy will give him a great deal of power statewide to advocate for the issues of black people. And I think part of our problem as black people is that we haven't had the courage to move away from the crowd. Mm. We only stand with the crowd.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so that's part of Pastor Gilliard's success. But then I do want to say this. I think part of why we haven't succeeded, and Pastor Gilliard can keep to himself who he thinks this is on the phone, but I'm telling him that the president, and the president can do something. We have, my company has a huge tract of land between Elmont and Bloomingdale.
Mm-hmm.
Right down Bloomingdale is a preacher who has a tract of land that impedes our tract of land.
Mm-hmm.
His church, as opposed to selling it to us, fair market value would have even given him more, allowed the city condemn it and knock it down.
Mm.
His response was, "We're going to hold on to it, and I think by the next election, I can get some help."
Wow.
The Harlem Renaissance Festival, the Harlem's Renaissance succeeded because churches gave up their right of way, and economics played a part.
Mm.
Churches are the biggest hindrance in some communities, not all, because they become individualistic, where they own land assets as opposed to retreating and giving business owners opportunities. They impede change, holding on, using their little stick of leverage, hoping that somebody's going to drop some money there.
Mm.
And I think that is the hugest, biggest impedance to our success.
Wow.
Everybody wants to hold on to some measure of power.
Well, sounds like you've been personally affected by that. That's for sure. And I'm an entrepreneur at my heart and my core, and I definitely understand. Pastor, I don't know if you want to talk about that a little bit.
I agree with him 100%.
Yeah.
And I do know who it is. do I have the liberty to disclose your identity?
Elmont, Bloomingdale, and Baker. I'm stuck between a $10 million project and one church holding on to some house, talking about, "I'm going to EK Bailey conference, and this is a meeting this week. Can't meet with you."
I know exactly, and I also know who you're talking about.
I want you to know the plot of land.
I got you.
Bale and Baker.
I got you.
Nice.
I got you. Yeah. I don't want to say his wife, though, but yeah.
Westwood.
Right. We got you.
Rosedale,
right.
And again, like I said, I agree with my brother 100%, you know. But it's not coming. It's not coming the way they think it's going to come.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the significant things about Barack Obama's presidency with all the turmoil he's met, I think what black folk are now understanding, it doesn't matter who's facing that White House,
mm-hmm.
the white folks still control this country, and it's time now to rise up and do your own thing and not depend on some savior.
That's right.
But with the church, with the black church specifically, we got to get rid of the crab mentality.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Tell me about it.
And see the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
The prophets are filled with statements concerning about other prophets.
Mm-hmm.
But in our age, we've got this. It's like the FOP. They got the old boy network, the FOP, Fraternal of Police. But we got the Fraternal of Preachers, where you that if you speak out against just prophetic wrongdoing, then they ice you and isolate you and label you. But I've always been a kind of go against the grain kind of person. Mm-hmm. But what happens is we become detriment mm-hmm. to the people we're supposed to serve.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. And I'm with the brother 100%.
But haven't you seen the hand of God turn the scales in your favor?
Yeah, because I didn't run for the office.
Just in this season.
Right, I didn't run for the office.
From the back of the line to the most politically important Negro preacher in the state.
Wow, I didn't know that.
In a short period of time.
Right. Right, I hear you.
Don't play like you don't know.
No, I didn't.
Ask him who the governor calling.
just for a prayer breakfast.
And that's why we have him in here, Ron.
Ron trying to mess me up.
Don't say my name on the radio. Thank y'all.
All right, take care. Have a good one.
I hope you work on that between Baker. I own everything from Sandy's Learning Center forward.
Okay.
And as I always told you, there's nothing our company wouldn't do for you.
Beautiful.
Negro preachers.
Yes, sir.
Beautiful. Love right. it. Thanks a lot, Ron. Take care. Have a good one. Hampton, if you can hold on 1 second for me. We're here with Pastor Gilyard of Greater Harvest Baptist Church. We're talking about investing in yourself, but more importantly, economic empowerment in our community. Man, I love the call that we just got. We just heard from an entrepreneur in the city who's looking to empower and grow and develop, and he's being stifled by someone in the community.
Yeah,
you know, right. So as sad as that is, sometimes it happens that way. Let me give out this number here. If you want to call in, 410-481-1010, 410-481-1010. If you're outside the listening area, 877-704-1010, 877-704-1010. And if you are interested in being an entrepreneur, starting a business, not knowing where to start, you can text 443-854-4889, 443-854-4889. We've got Hampton online, too. Hey, Hampton, how you doing?
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Hello, Mr. Gilyard.
Good morning, Ticket.
Sir, I was right around the corner from you for years, right there, 1400 block of Emerson Avenue.
Wow.
That was my church dad, Levi Miller.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm very familiar with you, and I hear you every night on my radio, Sunday night.
Yes, sir.
I turn in. This is it. I got to listen to this guy. You talk good stuff. Real good things.
Yeah.
But the thing is, that hurt me was I heard one of the guys say on there one time, a lot of the pastors who get the church fixed or whatever,
yeah,
or these mega churches and all,
uh-huh.
only one on this area where I'm at, they say, that they got a black guy to do it, and that was the guy Stokes up here on 43rd Street.
Yes.
The rest of them, white people, as you say.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And I would love to find a way to invest some money. I would love. Every time I go out there and try, them Koreans out there, they blocking me up. I live here, born here. They not, and they come over here and be giving rules out to tell them to tell me what to do.
Wow.
And the ones that come get me is a black man. They sent after me.
Okay.
So I love to meet up with you and find out. Show me how to go. Because I remember when I was over here, when y'all was doing what y'all was doing about this recreation center.
Yes.
I was there.
Okay.
You
okay.
Know, so I'm saying, I love to go, but you got a lot of these churches up here jiving now, man. Come
yes.
on, man.
Yes, you're right. You're
know,
right.
So I ain't going to try to put nobody there in particular.
Mm-hmm.
But they got a lot of them jiving.
Yeah.
That if you want to really show me what to do, I got a little money. I'm ready to go, man. Because I'm tired of these whites just taking everything from our black neighborhood. We look like our neighborhood look like a bum shelter and all. You know what I mean? And I'm saying we can't even get none of our own money back. Come on.
Right. And I think that's the key. We're going to have to come together and even point persons who are really serious about investing, point them to the resources that are available to them. I met with Senator Catherine Pugh, and that's one of the things we talked about. She has a wonderful, wonderful proposal to help persons who want to do black businesses to point them to the resources and tell them what they need to have in order to get things done in that area. And I want to thank God for her. She, along with Senator Joan Conway, in the city on the delegate side, you got Delegate Keith Haynes, who I've all met with, who are willing to join with us and try to help us turn this thing around at some level, because all too often we sleep at the switch.
Mm-hmm.
And when we wake up, the ride is over.
Hmm.
And well, so, yeah, right. And so my thing is, I'm not trying to do anything to promote Greater Harvest per se. I just want to try to be a vehicle by which somebody who's got some creativity, who's not trying to do a quick, quick rich scheme, because it takes time to build wealth,
mm-hmm.
And it takes discipline,
mm-hmm.
And who's going to go in for the long haul. And we can't whine our way out and whip our way out. We gotta do economic warfare.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say this last thing and I'm going to go. You usually announce things on your show and all like that. I mean, at, you know, your church and all.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to do this, drop it there. Or I have to call up there and find out when. But just remember,
yes,
we did and do some things to come together down in Tulsa. White people came in, and we got powerful and was outdoing them and burned out everything I have.
Mm.
Then we did it again. And they came back and did it again. So no matter when we get up high enough and outdoing them and make them look bad, they're going to come with some kind of act and start some trouble. We know this.
Yes, yes.
So I'm on guard. I'm with you.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Hampton, thanks so much, man. Thanks for the call.
All right.
Take care now. All right. We're here with Pastor Gilliard. He's given us some great words of wisdom about economic empowerment. We only got about 7 more minutes left here. But if you'd like to call into the show, you can call at 410-481-1010, 410-481-1010. If you're outside the listening area, you can call 877-704-1010, 877-704-1010. And if you are a entrepreneur, want to be an entrepreneur, looking to start a business, don't know where to go, just in the beginning here, looking for something, you can text us 443-854-4889, 443-854-4889. I'm here with Pastor Gilliard. We're talking about economic empowerment in our community. And hey, Sharon, I can hear you here in the background. You have some noise, some background noise with you? Can you hear me?
That's clear.
Okay. And I'm also here with Sharon Lewis as well. Just a great show today. Just a very empowering and enlightening to hear. I love when the callers call in and kind of tell some of the things they're going through. Pastor, if you can just share some other words of wisdom with our listening audience about anything that you feel relevant here.
I do think, too, the church, as I said before, it's a people movement,
mm-hmm.
and the Lord did that for a reason. And it's the common people.
Mm-hmm.
If you notice, everyone the Lord called was they came about mm-hmm. were common people. Heard them glad. Mm-hmm. The scriptures, the common people heard them gladly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think along those lines, God is not finished with the inner city, and I don't think the church should be.
Mm-hmm.
What breaks my heart more is when I ride around in the city and I see churches that were once the driving force of the community.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, wonderful black historical churches
yeah.
are now emptied on Sundays,
mm-hmm.
Falling down.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to be out of touch with the community
mm-hmm.
and the pulse beat of the community.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of breaks my heart. I know kind it does.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you ride up or ride down Monroe and Clifford, you see where the late Dr. Hurley Carter Sr.
Mm-hmm.
Moved his church, but he didn't move it out of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And actually put an oasis in a desert.
Because okay.
if you look at, I think for over 3 or 4 square blocks,
uh-huh.
it's owned by New Shallow.
Wow.
And they've done, the Lord called him home, he has done a great work.
Mm-hmm.
And he had enough spiritual wisdom to bring his son on board,
mm-hmm.
and who's not only carrying on the legacy, but mm-hmm. is building a new legacy.
Beautiful.
And bring a new paradigm to the area of the city. And so when I look at that, I'm convinced God ain't finished with the city.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in Southwest Baltimore. Mm-hmm. God ain't finished with the city. So what I want to say to pastors and churches in the inner city, I think what's going to happen is we got to get back to the Great Commission. Because the Great Commission for us has now become the Great Omission. I read that in a book called The Autopsy
mm-hmm.
of a Deceased Church.
Mm.
And the writer's last name is Rainer. And he
mm-hmm.
talks about the fact that we've abandoned the Great Commission. And the church has become too introvert.
Mm-hmm.
We're not outgoing
yeah.
as we should be. And I just believe that in this, as they like to throw that term around, in this season, as
mm-hmm.
they say,
mm-hmm.
If the church would do what we need to do is return back to strengthening the old pillars
mm-hmm.
of our own spiritual discipline. I'm a person who believes firmly in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I think from the womb of prayer,
mm-hmm.
churches grow.
Lovely.
From the womb of prayer. The social gospel is preached with effectiveness to the end that it caused men not only to look at themselves,
mm-hmm.
but look to Christ for the answers. And I think for those who want to stay away from the church, the black church is still,
mm-hmm.
and I don't care what anybody say,
mm-hmm.
the greatest place on town.
Yeah.
In town, rather. The greatest place. I don't care who the pastor is.
Uh-huh.
The greatest
show in town.
Yeah,
huh?
And it's not show, but it's the greatest place. Right, and I think if you're in a church where there's pitiful preaching,
mm-hmm.
it's because there's a prayerless pew,
mm-hmm.
and God's curse to a prayerless pew is pitiful preaching. So don't leave the church. Start to praying, and maybe you might get a better sermon.
I love it, and get better inspiration.
Man. So, I want to see church growth in the inner city.
Yeah.
Because I don't believe everybody's got to run out to the county.
That's right.
And that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I tell my members, I'm going to shut up. I tell my members all the time, it's a spiritually immoral disgrace to come in from the surrounding counties
mm-hmm.
into this community, park your car in front of the residence door, get out your car,
uh-huh.
don't speak, come into this church, leave this church, and go back to the car, don't speak, and going back out to the county.
Yeah.
We're going to change that culture. We're going to change that kind of attitude.
Beautiful.
And thank God we were able to, as a church, build relationships. And we don't compete with other churches around. There are many churches around us.
Mm-hmm.
We don't compete. We try to partner with those who want to partner with
mm-hmm.
us. And we try to share whatever we have with them. We
mm-hmm.
have a large lot which we purchased for the purpose of developing.
Yeah.
That fell to us in a miraculous way.
Mm.
And time would not allow me to talk about that, but we've been able to purchase homes and sell
mm-hmm.
homes in the neighborhood. And there's still some blight around us.
Sure.
But we're working.
You're developing the
yes,
area.
Yes, we set aside a separate 501c3.
Beautiful.
All right, for community housing development, that kind of
thing. Outstanding.
Yeah.
Man, what a wonderful, wonderful person. Mm-hmm. And man, I wish we had more time here. I could talk to you for another hour, man, and just get the wisdom and the knowledge. I hope you guys enjoyed the show today. We're here with Pastor Errol Gilyard out of Greater Harvest Baptist Church. We got to have you come back.
I appreciate that.
All right,
that.
Please do come back. People need to hear this. And one more time, if you want to send a text, you can do it 443-854-4889. Also, let me give my website as well. If you want to, maybe you can comment on the show. You can go to orinsolomon.com, O-R-I-N. S-O-L-O-M-O-N, like King Solomon, orinsolomon.com. Any comments? We love suggestions as well as far as topics to talk about. So I want to thank Pastor Gilyard again. Thank you so much for coming out. And we're up against time. We'll see y'all next Tuesday. Good day. God bless. Have a good one, y'all.
God
take
bless.
Care.